Hello. All right, there we go. Wow, what a grand entrance. The Holy Spirit is here. Woo! He must have really heard us this morning, though. Okay, for reference, we had an awesome worship night on Friday night, and Nico's not here, but he brought his smoke machine, and yeah, you gotta have the smoke machine for the Holy Spirit to come, apparently. That's right, he's already here. How am I supposed to preach after all of this? Far out. Like, getting healed from migraines and encouraging testimonies. Yeah, I don't want to leave that place of, you know, just resting in his presence. It's awesome. Oh, it's so cool to be here and be able to share the Word of God with you this morning. And first I just want to say thank you. Thank you for having us. thank you for accepting us and loving us into the Grace Point fam. I mean, that is just, we just feel very loved and very welcome. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know if this is a tradition, but I do have a joke. It's probably going to make Rob's jokes look good. Oh no. Okay, here we go. So there was a married couple who were arguing about who's making the coffee. The wife said, "In the Bible, it says that men should make the coffee." And the husband said, "Well, where does it say that?" And the wife opened up her Bible and said, "Right here in Hebrews." Oh, so bad. So I guess Rob's jokes are probably pretty good right now, aren't they? pretty similar. I mean, I've got worse jokes, but moving right along, why don't we pray one more time? Oh, thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you that you are here, Lord. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, the power of your presence. Lord, would you draw us deeper this morning? Lord, I pray that you'd give me the words to speak, Lord, that you would speak through me, and that your word would go forth powerfully this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So today, I get to talk about the power of one another. So it's a pretty exciting thing. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, there is actually 59 verses about one another. And it comes from a Greek word called allelon. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Is anyone Greek? Nope. Okay. I probably pronounced it wrong. Allelon. But it means one another or each other. It means mutually. Okay. And I think for me, a great place to start is the words of Jesus. That's always good. So if you have your Bibles, the passage I just want to, you know, just go over and just think about is found in John chapter 13, and it's verses 34 to 35. It's a pretty well-known verse. It says, "So now I'm giving you a new command. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So that's so profound, isn't it? Just as I have loved you. This is Jesus talking to us. Just as I have loved you, you should love others. So for me, at least, thinking about this one anothering thing, is that a word? That's probably not even a word. One anothering. Or whatever we want to call it, okay? But I think what it starts with is really knowing His love in our hearts. How can we expect to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ if we are not experiencing His love, regularly? And I don't know about you, but for me, if I don't regularly take time to soak and be in his presence and be filled with the love of Jesus. Like my Karen just comes out, you know? You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't know about you, but when I drive, sometimes my Karen just comes out if I haven't spent time, like, allowing the love of God to just calm me down. So, I mean, you can just ask my wife. She knows everything about me. She's got many stories. But sometimes I can get very cranky over, like, absolutely nothing. All because I haven't spent, like, some time just sitting in his presence and allowing his love to just come into my heart. And I know that when I lose sight of Jesus, like, it becomes much harder to love. And I myself, I need constant reminding of his love for me. Like, I need to regularly know that Jesus loves me. And that's not just like once on a Sunday, like coming to church and like, I mean, this is awesome. We come to church and, you know, man, God's presence. But it's like, it's got to be an everyday thing. And it's from that place that, you know, where we sit and we can have his love in our hearts, that it's actually really easy to do the one anothering thing, if that's what we call it. But this is also interesting. I've had this thought as well, like thinking about different churches. I mean, I've been following Jesus for some time now, since I was about 14 and I'm now 32. You're like, okay, boomer. But, you know, I've been following Jesus for a while. I've been in and out of different churches and it just, I don't know, I'm yet to come, like I haven't been to a church where they've been, like, most churches are like, yeah, that service was really pumping, the worship was awesome, or yeah, that preacher was really cool, like it really spoke to me. But what about, wow, that church, like they really love one another. Like, and my hope and prayer would be that at Grace Point, that we would be known for our love for one another. And all that other stuff is awesome, but our love for one another. So yeah. So moving along, this is my first point. So loving one another with genuineness. So Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 10 says this. This is awesome. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. I mean, I don't know about you, but have you ever had to fake something? Like, no one. Well, okay. I have had to fake a lot of things. And this is kind of a funny story, but so I have a friend called Amanda. She's a, like, an awesome musician. She's graduated the Conservatorium of Music, and she has a piano teaching business. And one day she called me and was like, hey, I can't teach my students. Can you fill in for me? Can you sub for me? I was like, oh, I don't really play piano, but I guess I can read music. Yeah, I guess I'll sub for you. And like, I did the first couple of students and they were fine. Like, cause it was just like, you know, like Mary had a little lamb and I was like, easy, like left hand, right hand, got this. And then like, I get to like this is in Bondi too. So they're like very proper. And then I get to this really crazy house with like a grand piano. And then, this kid comes out with his music and I was just like, almost had a heart attack because I'm not really, the piano is not my first instrument. But anyway, I kind of had to, fake my way through that. And it's not fun. And you can totally tell when someone's not genuine, right? And God wants our love to be genuine and he wants our love to be real. And I think following Jesus, like it's been already said, it's such a journey and we experience all kinds of things following him. There's ups, there's downs, but no matter what season we find ourselves in, like God calls us to love genuinely. I don't know, like how the last 2 years for you all have been, like with this pandemic. And for me, it's just been a bit of a roller coaster. It's like, hey, we can meet for church. Hey, we can't meet for church. Hey, you can only have like 10 people here. Hey, you can have like 20 people here. Oh, hey, you have to wear masks. You can't sing. It's been a bit of a roller coaster, right? But I love what Romans 12:15 says. It says this: be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. And I think we probably do the first part really well. Like, I mean, who doesn't like to party? My neighbors really like partying. They were partying really late last night, like 3:30. But what about to weep with those who weep? I mean, think about this. You can't force yourself to cry unless you're like a Hollywood actor. And I think I only cry when it's probably genuine. Definitely can't force tears. So to weep with those who weep is to really feel and empathize with them. There's nothing worse than faking our love for one another, and it needs to be genuine. And I really do believe that God wants us to have pure hearts towards each other. And I love what 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says. It says, make your love overflow for each other. So let your love just continually grow for each other. Isn't that beautiful? But I think it's always good, though, to evaluate the state of your heart. Like, ask yourself the question, do I love genuinely? And it's that same love that Jesus shows to us. It's unconditional. There's no strings attached. Or am I loving this person just to get something back? You know? So it's like loving with no strings attached, yeah? So 1 Peter 3:8 says, love one another deeply from the heart. I mean, man, I love Jesus. He meets us where we are. He shows us grace, mercy, forgiveness. And I guess the question for me, at least, is am I loving people with that same love? And I love what Romans 15:7, it says this, right? Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. I often ponder this whole thing of acceptance and change, and sometimes we get it mixed up. Sometimes we have change first and then acceptance. We expect people to change to fit into our agendas or our lives, and then we accept them, whereas actually Jesus is the opposite to that. He accepts people and meets them where they're at, and then a transformation kind of takes. I think of the story of, you guys know Zacchaeus in the Bible? He was like a mad tax collector, like a little short dude, and I called him a dude. But he climbs a tree, and like Jesus didn't go up to him and be like, hey man, like please pay back all the people you've ripped off. No, he actually met him where he was at, and he came down from the tree, and then Jesus had a party with him, and they had dinner, and then from that, he had a transformation happen in his life. So it's that same kind of love that we're called to love one another with. Amen. amening myself. Okay, so humility is the next little thing I just want to briefly touch on. Paul writes this in Ephesians 4, from verses 1, we'll start at verse 1, so if you have your Bible, it says this, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, so this is Paul, he's writing this when he's in prison, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God, always be humble and gentle. Man, isn't being able to humble ourselves hard sometimes? I mean, come on, who doesn't like being right in an argument? I mean, we had young adults on Thursday, and I wanted to win, you know. But I love what Philippians 2 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Man, that's so powerful, isn't it? Don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. That passage just blows my mind. And I love what C.S. Lewis says, he says this, right? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. You know how sometimes, like I've met, like I used to be like this. I used to be like, oh, no, I am not worthy. You are worthy because Jesus came and died on the cross and like he reconnects you to the Father. But C.S. Lewis says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. So humility is actually putting others first. It's a lot about getting over yourself. I used to hear this all the time as I was growing up as a Christian. It's not about you. And I used to be like, what do you mean? Why isn't it about me? It's not about you. But it's about getting over yourself. Like, it really is. It's about taking your eyes off of yourself and looking around to see how you might actually help others reach their dreams or help them succeed. And it's so opposite to the world, isn't it? I mean, the world's just like, ah, do whatever makes you happy. Do whatever you can to get ahead. And Jesus is telling us, hey, help other people reach their dreams. That's a big challenge for me to think of others as better than myself. And a classic example for me in my life was when I was at university. I thought I was like a really cool musician, practiced every day, like scales in the morning, you know, like jazz minors, all the Dorian flat 9, flat 13s, and Jordan knows what I'm talking about. This is probably really foreign language to everyone. But anyway, I had this thing where I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to practice hard and just like be the best that I can. And it got to a point where I would often go to rehearsal rooms and I think people were like a little bit intimidated by me, if I might say that. And I had to learn to just like let go of all of that and actually meet people where they were. And like some people were like super disorganized, like they didn't have lead sheets for, this is like for graduating recitals. Jordan probably knows what I'm talking about again. But I had to like be like, well, actually, I got to get over myself and actually help these people do this. So that was a big learning thing for me, to actually think about how I might help these particular people succeed. It wasn't my recital or anything, but, you know, I ended up writing a few charts, helping out where I could. So yeah, humility. I'm so humble. No, I'm... Just gonna laugh. Okay. So we got this in recap. Okay. So the first thing is love one another with genuineness. Second thing is humility. And the third thing I want to talk about is unity. Continuing in Ephesians, it says, be patient. I really need to hear that like all the time. Be patient. Be patient with each other. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Oh, that's awesome. You know, we're all going to, you know, make mistakes, but we need to have patience and grace for each other. Be patient with me. I'm new. I'm the new kid on the block. But yeah, we do. We need to be patient with each other and cover each other in love. And it goes on to verse 3. It says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. So I want to talk about this thing, unity, okay? It's a very interesting concept. So just go with me here. It's a bit... Just go with me, okay? So our relationship with God is like a tree. I'm not a hippie, but it is like a tree, okay? You're probably like, okay, what is going on? But hear me out, okay? So like when I think about my relationship with Christ, right, I have an image of a big oak tree. And there's these huge roots that go down deep under the ground, right? And I don't know what you learn in school these days, but when I was growing up, we used to have like diagrams and stuff. And It used to be like a tree, and then like the roots of the tree was like the top of the tree, but like underneath, and it would go down like way below, right? And you know, maybe my relationship with Jesus looks a bit like that. I have these long roots that go deep into the soil. You know, this root over here is my prayer life. This root's maybe my testimony. There's another root here that's my revelation of Christ. And maybe this little root over here, that's my church family. And you know, because my roots go down deep, it keeps me from blowing over in the storm, right? But you know what? TikTok taught me something. You're probably like, TikTok's fake. The Chinese are spying on us or something. No. But seriously, I watched the thing on TikTok, right? This is serious. But the majority of tree roots are not actually singular trees with their roots going deep into the soil. So actually, the majority of trees have what is called a lateral root system. You're like, wow, I never knew that. Neither did I. TikTok is amazing. You learn new things. But okay, just think about this. How many times have you been walking like over a footpath and it's been a little bit bumpy and it's like a bit broken? I feel like Sydney Rose is like that everywhere. but that's because trees, their roots actually grow in shallow ground and their roots actually spread out. And what actually happens is they intertwine with other trees. Isn't that fascinating? They intertwine with other trees around them. And not only does that strengthen the individual tree, but it actually strengthens the other trees. So like, imagine this. This one tree here intertwines with this tree, and then this tree intertwines with this tree, and then this tree intertwines with this tree. They're actually four strong worth of trees. It's not like one tree. So that's why you see in a large forest, all these trees are actually interlocked, and none of them are toppled when the storms come, because they're actually intertwined. And it's usually the weak trees who are off by themselves, like isolated, like out in the middle of nowhere, that end up falling down because they have damaged roots and they're not intertwined with the other trees. Or maybe it's a tree that, you know, only had its roots down one way and the wind came and blew and it fell over. You're like, whoa, tree facts. It's real. It's on TikTok, right? But this is a beautiful, I just thought, man, this is such a beautiful picture of the church. We're like trees. We're strengthened by each other. And we're not supposed to be like a strong tree, like out there somewhere walking our own little walk with Christ, bearing our own fruit, because we, you know, sometimes we might think, oh, I have a relationship with Christ, I have a mission, I have a prayer life, I don't need church, I have Jesus. You need church. Let me say, we need each other. But even if your roots do go down deep, you're not going to be able to withstand the storms, because we need to be intertwined even more. Sorry to keep banging on about trees. I'm not a hippie, I promise. How funny is this as well? Trees actually can communicate to each other. It's like Ents in Lord of the Rings. Everyone's like, what is that? Yeah. Such a... Thank you. But how cool is this? The root systems that are intertwined are actually able to share. They actually share their water and nutrients. And they can also... they can actually send distress signals about things like when they get attacked by like insects or something. Isn't that cool? Like one tree's like, oh, I'm getting attacked by an insect. Help me, tree. And then they do the wave thing. I'm just thinking about this in my mind. And then it's like, oh yeah, let's get rid of that bug. And you know, they strengthen each other. Isn't that just so, I'm just like, I've been blown away by this week. Okay. But we're strengthened by our connection to Christ, by our connection to the one source, and we are so much stronger when we are connected and intertwined together. Colossians 2:7 says, let your roots go down into him. Let your lives be built on him. then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let your lives be built on Him. Share your lives with each other. It's pretty simple. Share your homes. Share your victories. Share your disappointments. Build each other up. Encourage each other in the faith. Disciple one another. Pray wholeheartedly for each other. That's why you should come to Monday prayer meeting, because we pray for each other. It's awesome. We pray for migraines to disappear, and they go in Jesus' name. Come on, that's awesome. Let someone know if you feel like, man, I'm just having doubts. Let someone know when you need prayer. Like we're called to be intertwined with each other. Because when we're intertwined with each other, we actually produce more bountiful and delicious fruit than we ever would on our own. Don't you want to produce like really nice apples? Like, could you imagine being your own tree and you'd like produce like little, I want big apples. I don't want some small little apples, but to get those big apples, we have to be in this together. So my hope and prayer is that here at Grace Point, we would have a genuine, intimate connection as the family of God. And you know why? Because that draws people in. People don't want to be part of a family that's like, doesn't love one another. Hey, like, so what I just want to do right now is, why don't we just take a moment? I'm not really sure how this is going to work. This is all new for me. But let's just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to bring someone to mind that you need to get to know better, and that's actually here today. Someone that you need to get a deeper and more genuine connection with. And if no one comes to mind, you can look at your neighbor. You can probably start with asking yourself, do I know them? Is there a genuine connection with them? So let's just do that for a sec. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to bring someone to mind that you need to get to know better. So once you feel like you've got that person in mind, I want you to just spend some time right now with that person and ask each other what you're hoping for this week. Maybe it's to get through another week. Maybe it's for a family member to come to Christ. Maybe it's for a healing. Find out what that is. And I want you to just genuinely care and pray with each other over these things. So can we do that? Could we just find the person that the Holy Spirit is talking to you about? And for those of you online, just pray with someone at home. If you've got someone in your house to pray with, grab that person and pray with them. If you don't have anyone at home, I just encourage you to journal. So yes, let's do that.